Masechet Eduyot, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Het. We'll have a machloket between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel here in regard to Yibum. If a man dies with no children, then his wife or his widow is obligated to do Yibum to marry the brother of the deceased man. If the deceased man doesn't want to marry her, he does Halitza, the removal of the shoe, and then she's free to marry somebody else. Even though generally a brother is not allowed to marry the former wife of his brother, she would be considered an edva, a prohibited marriage. When it comes to Yibum, the Torah makes an exception and a man is allowed to marry his brother's widow. But if the widow was an edva to him in a different way, for example, let's say it was a man's daughter, then he would not allowed to do Yibum with her. But if there was another brother who was not an edva to her, for example, let's say this man who we were talking about, it was his daughter, happened to be his brother's wife. But if there was another brother who now this widow is his niece, he would be obligated to do Yibum or Halitza with her. Here we'll talk about where a man dies with no children and he has more than one widow. He has a few different widows, but one of them is an Erva to the living brother. So obviously the Erva lady or the Erva widow herself cannot do Yibum or Chalitza. What about though the co-wives of that Erva? She has other wives. Are they now exempt from Yibum and Chalitza as well because she was or not? Mishnah says, Bet Shammai matirin et hasarot la'achim. Bet Shammai in this situation would allow the co-wives of an Erva to the brothers. They say that the brother is allowed to do Yibum with the Erva's co-wife. So let's say you have a brother, you have the man here, one brother cannot do Yibum with his own daughter. Let's say his own daughter was married to his deceased brother. So that's an Erva. But what about if she had co-wives? If she had, there were other wives that were married to the man who passed away. So are they allowed to do that other wife who's not his daughter? Is she allowed to do Yibum with this man? The answer of Bet Shammai is Matirin. He's allowed to. Even if he's the only living brother, he's allowed to marry the co-wife of his Erva. So let's say it's his daughter's co-wife, he would be allowed to marry her. Bet Hillel Ostrin. But Bet Hillel say, no, the co-wife is forbidden to the brother. If he's the only living relative, then they would be free to marry other people without Halitza. Totally patur, no need for Yibum or Halitza. We'll have all more consequences to this mahloket. Haltzu, if one of the co-wives of the Erva did Halitza with the living brother, Bet Shammai poslin min hakehuna. According to Bet Shammai, he would say the Halitza was meaningful, it worked, and therefore that co-wife is a Halutza, someone who did Halitza, and she would be prohibited to marry into the Kehuna. She couldn't marry a Kohen. Bet Hillel machshirin. Bet Hillel would say, no, it's a meaningless Halitza. The Halitza was nothing because there was no need for it because the woman was free to marry anybody even without the Halitza. So therefore, she's not a Halutza and she would be allowed to marry a Kohen. But if they need Yabimu, if one of the co-wives was taken by the brother in Yibum and then he died, Bet Shammai Machshirin, Bet Shammai say, she is now eligible to marry a Kohen because the Yibum was for sure allowed. It was a normal case of Yibum. She married the man and then he died. So now she's a widow. A widow is allowed to marry a Kohen. Bet Hillel Poslin, but Bet Hillel say, no, she's now disqualified from marrying a Kohen. The Yibum was not allowed. So the woman had relations with a man she was not allowed to have relations with because it was the brother of her husband and she wasn't allowed to be with him and it wasn't a case of Yibum. So therefore she's now a Zona and she's not allowed to go marry a Kohen going forward. We look at these machlokot between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel and we may think that there was strife between them, that they were split into two separate communities, but we'll say here, Ba'afal pi she'elu poslin ve'elu machshirin, even though Bet Hillel said certain women were disqualified for marriage, and Bet Shammai said that they were eligible for marriage, so they were problematic to each other, seemingly, halachically. So we would think that the families on each side of the machloka would stay away from each other, but we said they did not. Lo nimnu Bet Shammai milisa nashim Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai did not hold back for marrying women from the school of Bet Hillel, and Bet Hillel did not hold back for marrying people from the school of Bet Shammai. They always were open and transparent with each other about what the other side would hold as forbidden. It shows how the Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, they bring more peace and tranquility into the world. They held it was okay, but they knew that the other opinion said it was a problem, so they made sure to inform them, and therefore those people would not marry between the from Bet Shammai to Bet Hillel or Bet Hillel to Bet Shammai. But in general, they would just make sure to keep proper records, and they would inform each other, and therefore they would be eligible normally to marry each other. All the pure items and tameh items that one side said was pure and the other side said was tameh, each side wouldn't hold back from preparing pure foods on utensils that they borrowed from each other, because they would always tell them, by the way, this utensil is okay to me, but to you it's a problem, so don't take it. They were so respectful of the other side that they would inform and tell them about all the halakhot that the other side needed, even though they disagreed with it and they didn't hold by it themselves.